page to find it on as well. Thanks so much.
So today we have two readings, and the first one is from Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23, and you can find that on page 1172, 1172. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And the second reading is Psalm 100. And that is on page 604 of the Church Bible. I'll give you a second to get there. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Amen.
Thanks, Barbara. Sorry. Great. Well, please keep Psalm 100 open in front of you. So I'm just going to switch this Bible for my Bible. Put that there. And let's pray, shall we? And ask for God's help as we think about Psalm 100 together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the scriptures. We thank you that they are your words and that they're not ordinary words, but they're living words. And so, Father, please speak to us this morning. Please would you help us to learn more about joy, what it means to have true joy, lasting joy, joy that can be ours even in hard times. Holy Spirit, would you grow joy in us this morning? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. There's certainly one child who sounds like they're struggling for joy out there, isn't there? But now, boys and girls, I'm going to need your help to start with this morning. I'm looking for something, okay? And I'm looking for this. What is it? I'm looking for joy, okay? And all over this room, there are piles of joy. So I want you to run off around the room, and I want you to find me as much joy as you possibly can, okay? Go looking for joy. Quick, quick, quick. Grown-ups, maybe you can help them. Some of you know where there is some joy nearby. Let's have some joy. Joy hunting, joy searching. Off we go. There might be some up in the balcony. If you're looking for joy, and then I'd love you to bring me a great big pile of joy. If you got your joy, bring me a pile of joy. Sit with joy hunting. Here it comes. Brilliant. Do you want to bring up the pile of joy here? Bring me joy. Bring me joy. Here we go. It's coming. Great big, oh, that is a big pile of joy. Thank you. Thank you. Any more joy? Anyone lost their joy? Some of the grown-ups are looking like they've lost their joy this morning. Wonderful. Thank you for your help. What a huge pile of joy. Oh, look, here's some more joy. Abby's bringing it. That is a big pile of joy. Are you feeling joyful this morning? Yes. Look at that. Great. So what have we just done? Okay. What have we done? We have been looking for joy. Now, okay, it's just a bit of paper with the word joy on it. But actually, what we've just done of looking for joy is something that probably all of us do every day. We go off looking for joy, don't we? We look for the things that will make us happy. We look for the things that we will enjoy, the things that will bring us gladness of heart. And we avoid the things that rob us of joy, that make us sad. Isn't that true? Isn't that what we do? Are you a joy seeker? No, no one's a joy seeker. It is true. We spend our... You're a joy seeker, are you? Yes. We're joy seekers by nature. And this word joy is a word that we see in the Bible quite a lot. And it does mean gladness. It means to enjoy something, a state of joy, where we're enjoying what's going on or enjoying something. Now, here's a question for you this morning. What kind of things bring you joy? Boys and girls, can you help me think about that? What brings you joy? What makes you glad? Sunshine, yes, and it's disappeared just as we celebrate that. We've got the heat, but no sun. That's yes, what brings you joy? Winter? You like winter. Oh, wow. Anyone else get joy from winter? I think you might be alone this morning. Oh, yes. There's three winter. Anyone else? What else brings you joy? What brings you joy? Birthdays. Yes, they are a very joyful thing, aren't they? Eleanor? Parties. They bring you joy? Yeah? Money brings you joy. Oh, there you go. That's embarrassing that that's my son, hey? That's, there we go. Andy? Peace in the world. Yes, that's a really joyful thing. When there's peace, there is true joy. Louise, let's have one more. What's that?
Money
as well. Have you been talking to Levi, you two? Whoa. So there are lots of things that bring us joy, bring us a gladness of heart. But I want us to see from the Bible this morning, and particularly from Psalm 100 and from the fruit of the Spirit, that joy is something that God wants you to have. God wants you to know joy. The fruit of the Spirit, I'm sorry if you're online, you won't be able to see this, but I didn't want to block the flags this morning. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, all the others. But this morning we're thinking about joy, which means God, the Holy Spirit, when He lives in us, wants to grow in us joy. He wants us to experience gladness. And it's the kind of joy, when the Bible speaks about joy, it's the kind of joy that you can have even when things going on around you aren't very joyful. It's a different kind of joy. The world gets its joy only when things are good. But Christian joy, the joy we read about in the Bible, can be ours even in hard times. And that is the joy that God wants for us. He wants that kind of joy. And that's what we get a glimpse of in Psalm 100. So if you've got a Bible, have a look at verse 1. This is the joy that God wants us to know. Look at it's up on the screen here, boys and girls. You could look at it up here. It says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness." Now that word actually means joy. Worship Him with joy. Come before Him with joyful songs. You see that's a lot of joy going on there, isn't it? And this is the joy that God wants. Who does He want it for? Have a look carefully at verse 1. Let's have some interaction. Who does He want this for? Everyone. The whole earth. This is a joy that everybody in this world can know. Every nation represented here, every nation that's not represented here, this is joy that God wants the whole world to have. A deep joy, a true joy, a lasting joy. See, as we celebrate International Sunday, we're celebrating that God has done something. God has got something that can bring people from all over the world deep and lasting and true joy. Some of you, who's heard of the story, the movie Toy Story? Anyone heard of the movie Toy Story? Some of you have seen that? Well, forget Toy Story this morning. Psalm 100 is God's joy story, okay? It's about how God wants to bring joy to the whole world. Now, do you want more joy? Anyone here want more joy? Yeah, I think most of us would want more joy. Do you want a joy that doesn't run out? So the problem is I get joy from eating a chocolate bar, but after about 3 seconds, it runs out. And then I'm not joyful anymore. So do you want joy that lasts a bit longer than a chocolate bar? Yes. Do you want joy that doesn't depend on what's going on around you? Do you want that joy?
Yes.
Well, wonderfully, that's the joy God wants for us too. And so the key question is, and this is what we're going to look at Psalm 100 this morning, where do you find that joy? Where does God, the Holy Spirit, want you to look for that joy, to find that gladness? Where does he want you to find that joy? Well, here's what we're going to see. True joy, lasting joy, deep joy comes from knowing the Lord, okay? So we're going to put this here. I'm sorry it's a bit lower than normal, but I didn't want to block all the flags this morning. So can we say this together? Joy comes from knowing the Lord. Joy comes from knowing the Lord. Now, there's lots of things that bring me joy. I've mentioned chocolate bars. I like cake. There's a theme going on here. There are lots of things that bring us joy. I get joy from going for a run. But the thing that brings me the greatest joy is people. Being with people. Spending time with people. And do you know what? That's what Psalm 100 teaches us about the source of joy, of the deepest joy. Have a look with me at verse 3. It should appear on the screen. It says this: know that the Lord is God. What is the source of joy? It's in knowing the Lord. The Lord, when it appears all in capital letters in our Bible, is a name for God, which means Yahweh. And we know the Lord today as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know the Lord as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so if you want joy this morning, real joy, deep joy, lasting joy, whatever age you are, whether you're young or whether you're a little bit older, whatever nation you're from, where are you going to find real joy? You're going to find it in knowing the Lord. And that doesn't mean just knowing about the Lord. Okay, so think of somebody famous. Give me somebody famous. Go on, William, give me somebody famous. Who's your most famous favorite footballer? Messi. Okay, so do you know Messi? You do know him. Wow. Matt, Heidi, this is something you've kept quiet from us. So there's a difference, isn't there, between knowing about him. So do you know lots of things about him? So you know what team he plays for? What team does he play for? That, yeah, I take your word for it. What's his best goal? Do you know his best goal? No, you don't know his best goal. When we can say we know somebody, like William's saying he knows Messi, we can know about somebody, but we may not actually know them personally. Have you been around to his house? No. Have you had a cup of tea with him? No. So there's a difference, isn't there, between knowing about somebody and knowing someone personally. And what the Psalm 100 is teaching us is that true joy, the source of deep gladness that doesn't change whatever's going on around you, comes from knowing the Lord personally. See, that's what this little phrase means. Let's have a think about it together. Know that the Lord is God. Can we say that together? 1, 2, 3. Know that the Lord is God. Now, that little phrase, to know that the Lord is God, means to acknowledge that the God of the Bible, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, is truly God. There is no other God apart from him. And so to know the Lord means to know him personally, to know him as your God. Can you say that this morning, that the Lord is your God? That you live with him as your God? And if we're going to know the Lord, if we're going to know not just about him, although we do need to know about him, but if we're to know him personally, then we have to know the Lord Jesus Christ. The New Testament, the writer John tells us that no one has ever seen God. Have you seen God? None of us have seen God. But the one and only Son, Jesus, who is himself God, and in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. Isn't that good? If you want to know the Lord, if you want to know him personally, if you want to make him your God, then you have to know Jesus, because Jesus makes God known to us. And so my question is, if joy comes from knowing the Lord, the question that we need to ask ourselves this morning is, are you living with the Lord as your God? Is he the one that you say, yes, Lord, you are God, and there is no other? That's the source of joy. And how do you know if you know the Lord? Well, Psalm 100 tells us that those who know the Lord can say three things, and that's what we're going to learn this morning. See, those who know the Lord, if I can find our little picture down here, those who know the Lord are those who can shout for joy, and those who know the Lord, first of all, can say, He made me. Can we say that? One, two, three. He made me. Now, can we come up with an action for that? Because we need to remember that. Can someone help me? He made me. Okay, ready? This is Eleanor's action for us. He made me. Okay? Some of the grown-ups need to join in a bit more with that, Eleanor. Do you want to come and tell them? Tell them to join in. Say, join in. There you go. Look, you've been told. You've been told, grown-ups. Okay, so this is what those who know the Lord, they say, He made me. Now, have a look with me at verse 3 again. It says, know that the Lord is God. So we shout for joy. Those who acknowledge the Lord, it is He who made us, and we are His. That's what we need to know. Those who know the Lord can say that. Now, look at this. Absolutely beautiful creation. Do you see this? Now, don't laugh at it. This is a marvelous creation. This is a frog, I think. It's a frog, and it's beautifully painted. And it was made by somebody. Now, the question is, who made it? Do you want to see who made it? Because what's on the bottom? It's Levi. Now, he was a lot younger when he made this. Don't want to embarrass my son. So it's got a name on the bottom. You see that? So the name shows who made it and who it belongs to. And this is Levi's from when he was a little boy. And he keeps it on his shelf. And I borrowed it today because actually the same is true when it comes to the Lord and us. The Lord made us. And He's written His name on us because we belong to Him. So who does this frog belong to? Levi. Who do we belong to? God. Because it is the Lord who made us. The Lord is creator. And those who know the Lord, who live with the Lord as their God, are those who can say, let's do Eleanor's action, He made me. We're those who say that the Lord created everything we see out of nothing. And that means that we belong to Him. We're His. And do you know what? That becomes a source of great joy to us this morning. If you know that the Lord is God and He made you, that takes a lot of heartache out of living your life like you are the creator. You know, we get so tired, so many of us, trying to live life like you are God. But actually, there's joy in knowing that the Lord, the God of the Bible, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, made you and you belong to Him. There's a joy in knowing the one who knows you better than you know yourself. There's a joy in knowing the one who put this world together out of nothing, and He knows exactly how it works. And so if you know Him, you know the one who knows how life works. There is joy, deep joy, real joy in knowing the Lord as your maker. Do you know the Lord as your maker? We know the Lord as personally our God when we say, He made me. Can we do that? He made me. Wonderful. Those who live with the Lord can say that He made me. Second thing that the psalm tells us, though, is that those who know the Lord can also say, He saved me. Now, we're going to need an action for this. Who's going to give us an action for this? Let's have an action. What are we going to do? He saved me. Okay, we're going to do this one. You ready? So, He saved me. Brilliant. So we've got He made me and He saved me. Wonderful. That's great action. So let's have a look on at the psalm, okay? Look again at verse 3. Know that the Lord is God. Should we say that together? Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us and we are His. We are His people. We are His people. Now, in a very special way, those who live with the Lord as their God can say that we are His people. See, in some ways, the whole world can say that we are His because God made us and we belong to Him. Everything has His name on it. Everything has got God's name scribbled on the bottom because He made it. But in a very special way, the people that God saves can say that we are His people. See, the world, the ends of the earth, has a big problem. And the big problem that everybody has, whatever nation they come from, is that they live like they belong to themselves rather than they belong to God. We live like we are God rather than the Lord is God. And that's what the Bible calls sin. So where's my pot here? I want you to imagine that I found this in our house, okay? And I'm looking around left and right. I'm thinking, I really like that. I could pretend I made that. And so I get my scratching out. I'm trying to scratch the name off the bottom. And then I get a pen and I write Nathan. And then I say, it belongs to me. Now, would you think that was very nice? No. And Levi probably wouldn't be that sad. But imagine that he was sad that I'd put my name on the bottom of his frog that he made all those years ago. And I said, this is mine. Look what I did. Now, we may laugh about it with a frog, but you know what? That's exactly what we do with the Lord, the Maker. We take his work, and we try and cross out his name, and we try and write our own name on it, and we say, do you know what? We don't belong to God. This is mine, and I'll put my name on it, and I'll do what I want. And that's what we do when we try to live as God. We're trying to scratch his name off everything and say, I am God, and I can do things my way. And because of that, because we live like that, and the whole world lives like that, the Bible tells us that we're not his people. In fact, the Bible tells us that we're his enemies. Can you give me an enemy's face? Let's have an enemy's face. Ooh. We're his enemies because we have not treated God as God. And wonderfully, though, that the Bible tells us that those who know the Lord, who live with him as God, can joyfully know him as, what was the action again? Savior. Is that right? Brilliant. We can joyfully know him as Savior. There is a way that those of us who've lived our lives treating God like he doesn't exist or trying to scratch his name off our life and everything that belongs to him, there's a way that those of us who are his enemies can become his people. We can become his friends. See, listen to what the Apostle Peter tells us. I'm going to read this verse to you from the New Testament, and it says this. Once, he says this to followers of Jesus, once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. That's what happens when you follow Jesus. Once you were not his people, but now you are his people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you've received mercy. That's the joy of knowing the Lord is your God. The joy of being saved. Saved from being his enemies to become his friends. Can we just back up a verse into Psalm 100, verse 2, 1 and 2? Look at what it says on the screen. It says, shout for joy to the Lord, worship the Lord with gladness, come before him with joyful song. Do you know, if you are one of God's enemies, he would not be saying that to you. Did you know that? You were not allowed in his house. You were not allowed to his place because you're his enemy. But God joyfully opens a way for us to come before him, to come and worship. That's what we do on a Sunday. And then it goes on a little bit later in verse 4. It's not on the screen, but on verse 4, and it says, enter his courts with thanksgiving, or his gates with thanksgiving. We can enter into his presence. We can come to God as his people because he saved us. So we can joyfully know God as our Savior. And one day, because of what he's done for us, he'll open the gates of heaven and he'll say, come on in. Come and be joyful together. Come and be joyful that I've made you my people. See, the Lord says to us, that he wants us to come, and he wants us to be his people. And so how can you become his people? Anyone got any ideas how you become one of his people? Anyone? Any of the grown-ups? It's pretty warm in here. I can see it's warm. We're struggling. Come on, we can power through. Yes. Pray. What's that? Pray. That's right. So you can pray, and we ask Jesus to make us one of his people. Listen to these words from Colossians. It says here in Colossians, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. So there we were, right over there, enemies of God, trying to scratch his name off everything. But then this, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Do you see the wonderful truth? We are not his people because we have lived our own way, scratching his name off everything. But joyfully, those who know the Lord can say, he has saved me. Can you say that this morning? Can you say he saved you? Those who know the Lord can have great joy because he saved us. He saved us by Jesus coming into the world, dying on a cross, and taking what we deserve for rejecting him and bringing us in to be his people. And that's joy that you can have even when things are hard. Even when physically things are hard, even if things are a bit terrible at school and things aren't going very well, that's joy that you can have and no one can take away. Because by trusting Jesus, we become his saved people. Good. Are you still going strong? We've got one more to think about. Okay, so here it is. Those who know the Lord can say, he made me. And those who know the Lord can say, he saved me. And here's the last thing that those who know the Lord can say, that he cares for me. Now we need an action for that. Let's have an action. Yes. Oh, nice one. I like that one. Say, he cares for me. That's good. We're going to do that. Sorry, my watch strap is flapping around and it's really irritating me. There we go. I'm going to put that away. So let's do that one more time. He cares for me. Now let's go back to verse 3. So we've got all this building up. Know that the Lord is God, so acknowledge that he's God. We are his. He made us. He's our maker. We are his people. We are saved by him and the sheep of his pasture. Now I've got a picture here, which I want to show you. This is a picture of my dog, okay? And my dog is wearing Jonathan's hat. There it is. And I want you to imagine, I know some of you don't like dogs, so just bear with me a second, but I want you to imagine that I asked you to look after my dog for a week, okay? Now, what would you do? I know some of you would just leave her outside, and that's okay. But if you cared enough to look after my dog for a week, what kind of things would you want to do for my dog for a week? Eleanor, what would you do? You would feed her and make her a soft bed. I think she would like that a lot, especially food. She's a Labrador. I didn't realize how much of the world was edible until we had a Labrador, and she eats everything. So, yeah, you'd feed her, make her a comfy bed. What else would you do for her?
Yeah.
Take her for walks. Yeah, she would love that, wouldn't she? One more. Let's go for one more. Give her toys. Yeah, she would love that too. So here's our dog. And if I asked you to care for her, those are the kind of things you would do. You would look after her, you'd feed her, you'd walk her, you'd make sure she was okay. And wonderfully, that's the picture that Psalm 100 gives us about the Lord. The Lord is the one who looks after his people. You see, in Psalm 100, in verse 3, it describes us as the sheep of his pasture. And that means every one of us in this room is like a sheep. And what do sheep need? Sheep need?
Grass.
They do need grass. But even more than grass, they need a shepherd, don't they? Because otherwise, they'll be eating their grass, and they'll probably just wander off and say, oh, there's more grass. And before they know it, they're miles away. What does sheep need? They need a shepherd. They need someone to look after them and care for them. And the Lord, knowing the Lord is your God, means you know the one who promises to shepherd you. Jesus said that I am the good shepherd. He's the one who really takes care of his sheep. And that's what Jesus promises for us. And what kind of a shepherd is he? Let's look at verse 5. This is what it tells us. Should appear very soon. There it is. For the Lord is, should we say this together? The Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. If you're going to have a shepherd, that's the kind of shepherd you want, isn't it? One who is good and loving and faithful. And if you're into this kind of stuff, when you see these three little phrases together in the Bible, like tied together like this, it's a way of talking about the Lord's faithfulness. I.e., he's completely reliable. He's reliably good. He's reliably loving. And it doesn't run out. And that's what we're told about the Lord. The Lord is our shepherd. He's the one who promises to care for us. He's the one who promises to take care of us even when things are hard. He's the one who promises his people, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. He's the one who promises to complete the work that he started in us. And so can you begin to see boys and girls and grown-ups, why knowing the Lord as your God is a source of joy? Can you begin to see that? Because you know your Maker, you know your Savior, and you know the one who's promised to care for you. Joy is found in having the Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as your God. True joy, deep joy, lasting joy for all nations is found in making the Lord your God. And I want to ask you, just as we finish up, can you say that you know the Lord? Some of us in this room might not be able to say that yet. And what I want to say to you this morning is now's a great time to say, yes, I want to make the Lord my God. I want to start living with Him as my God. I want to be able to say, yes, He made me and I belong to Him. I want to start saying He's my Savior. He's forgiven me for not living with Him as God. And I want to be cared for by Him. If you want to do that this morning, then now is a great time. Say, sorry, Lord. Sorry for living my own way. Make me one of your people by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. If that's you this morning, then why not do that? Whether you're young, it's the first time you've done that, or whether you're a bit older, do that today. And for those of us who do know that the Lord is our God, let me just take you back to the fruit of the Spirit for a moment. Because the Holy Spirit living in us wants to grow that kind of joy in us. You know, some of us may be sitting here this morning thinking, oh, I wish I had a bit more of that joy. Well, where are you going to get that joy from? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will help us to be joyful about those things. I know it's a hot room and most of us aren't feeling very joyful right now. Your faces don't look very joyful right now. But the Holy Spirit, bit by bit, grows that joy in us, grows that appreciation of God in us, grows that love of Him as Savior and Maker and Carer. And so why don't we pray now for the Holy Spirit to grow that joy in us, whether we're young, whether we're a little bit older. Let's ask for Him to grow true joy, deep joy in us this morning. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, please may the Holy Spirit grow joy in us, bit by bit, like those seeds that Tim planted on the first All Age we did. Father, please would joy really flourish in our lives. The joy of knowing you through the Lord Jesus Christ. The joy of knowing you as the one who made us. The joy of knowing you as the one who saved us. And the joy of knowing you as the one who will support us on our journey to heaven. And we ask this, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 We're going to stand and sing, I Want to Be Like Jesus.